Hey there, folks. Welcome into the ESPN FC studios. I'm Sebastian Salazar. Great to have you with us. Plenty to get to in today's show. Looking ahead to Saturday's FA Cup final, plus some potential big transfer news involving Arsenal and Manchester City. We start, though, with the promotion playoffs in the championship. Semi-final, second leg between Fulham and Cardiff City. Fulham fall 2-1, but thanks to a 2-0 victory in the first leg, they are through to the promotion playoff final, where they will face Brentford at Wembley next Tuesday for the last spot in next year's Premier League. For more, we're joined by Don Hutchison, Shaka Hislop, Stevie Nicol. All right, Don, look, Fulham got the job done, just about, but not exactly an advert for the aesthetic quality of the championship today, was it?
No, it was a little bit of a grind, and I've not seen that in Scotty Parker's team all season, so kudos to him by having his players grinding for him, because they're a good footballing side. Semi-finals are always hard. I thought the best two players on the pitch was Abubakar Kamara. When he came off the bench, he was terrific up front. He ran the channels, he was powerful, he looked good, he had some good shots saved by the goalkeeper. And Tom Kearney in midfield, he was calm, he was, you know, in possession, he didn't rush, he picked his passes, he slowed the game down. And apart from two long throws from Wimbledon, I mean Cardiff, I mean, it was like watching the going back to the 1990s, where they just launched their throw into the box. Fulham, I wouldn't say were comfortable, but I've played in these games, I've played in semi-finals, it's all about getting to the final.
Shaka, Fulham had a comfortable lead. What did you make of their performance today?
I thought they were awful, in all honesty. And listen, I understand Don crediting Fulham for grinding the results out, but you're 2-1, you're at home, and at no point I thought Fulham looked at all comfortable, looked like they thought they were the better of the two teams. And had to survive some pretty hairy moments themselves. Listen, I know they had chances in the upright themselves, but looking for a team with confidence at home, coming into to this second leg in poor position, Fulham just didn't seem to know what to do.
Stevie, we're hammering Fulham here. They did, by the way, advance. Shouldn't we be giving them a little more credit?
Well, I guess we should, because they won the game. That's what it's all about. At the end of the day, it's about results, and they've got themselves in the final. As a football match, clearly there was only one football team on the park, albeit Fulham didn't show us as much of the kind of football they can play, or certainly they've shown us in the last few years. But by far, we're the better footballing team. Cardiff actually played less football in this game than they did with the last time they were in the Premier League. So it was the right result, the right team won, the best team won, and it'll be a good game in the final.
Don, it's Brentford Fulham next Tuesday. Based on what we've seen, who do you give the edge to?
I think on what we've seen, I think it's a 50-50 game. Two teams will try and play football. I've been really impressed all season with Thomas Frank's Brentford. They play unusual style of football. They play a sort of money ball type system off the park. They've got a sporting director. They're going into a brand new stadium, but they play like a real high press. It's energy all over the pitch. Ollie Watkins is their superstar striker up front. He is terrific. And Ben Rama, who plays off the left, he can also play as a sort of number 10. He's a very gifted player. But finals are nervy. I've played in championship playoff finals. It's the best team that settles the best wins the game. Fulham might have Mitrovic back. He wasn't available tonight. He had an injury, so they didn't want to risk him. And he's a big player for Fulham. If they can get him fit, I would lean towards Fulham, but only just.
Shaka, based on what we saw against Fulham in the semi-finals, do you think they'll need to be better to get it done against Brentford?
Absolutely. They'll have to be a whole lot better. The only reason they're in the finals is because of how poor Cardiff is. And Don's right. Listen, playoff finals are nervy places, but I thought you saw Brentford had their nervy moments against Stoke and Barnsley, and then they got it together against Swansea in the second leg, after disappointments of throwing it away in the final two games of the season. I think they've righted their ship, and I still think that Fulham aren't playing with the kind of confidence you would expect or hope. So I'm leading Brentford here.
Stevie, Brentford the favourite for you?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Brentford. Yeah, I like the way they go about things. I like their attitude. Don was talking about the manager's attitude, and clearly it goes on to the players. I think they just look physically bigger and stronger as well. Fulham crumbled a little under the physical attack that Cardiff threw at them. And Brentford, I think, can be physical as well. So, yes, I definitely think Brentford are the favourites.
All right, it's the championship playoff final. Brentford and Fulham August 4th. That's next Tuesday. Not the only final coming up. FA Cup final on Saturday. Christian Pulisic figures to feature as Chelsea and Arsenal are all set to square off. Pulisic sat down for an exclusive interview with ESPN FC. Here's what he had to say.
That would be incredible. With how this year's gone, like I said, a lot of ups and downs. I think there's no better way to finish off a year than winning a trophy, you know, with the guys. And, you know, that's something that we really want. And obviously, that'll just be another thing to just remember from my first year. And obviously, that would be an incredible achievement. So, yeah, we all want to finish strong.
All right, gentlemen, we'll get your predictions on the match in just a second. But, Don, I'll start with you on Pulisic himself. He's been in and out of the starting lineup. He's got to start this match, right?
Oh, he's 100% a starter. Not a problem. It's not even a debate. I think a few months ago, Frank wasn't sure. But the finish he's had to the season, he's shown every Chelsea fan why they spent so much money on him. You know, the Hazard loss was massive for Chelsea. They never really had that match winner. That when games were tight, you could give someone the ball. It could take three, four players on. His close control is excellent. He's quick as well, over 10, 15, 20 yards. And now we're starting to have the end product. So I'm guessing when Frank's picking his team, Christian Pulisic will be number one in that 11.
Stevie, I was watching old Extra Times yesterday. There's one where you pick Mason Mount over Christian Pulisic. I wonder if that's still your choice, and if you think we'll see Pulisic in Lampard's 11 on Saturday.
Well, I'm going to assume we're going back to before the stoppage, right? Because nope. There's no question, since the restart, Pulisic's been their best player. And did you just say no there?
Yeah, it was after the restart. It was after the restart, Stevie. Believe it or not.
Ooh. Let me guess. It was after the first game, then.
Yeah, it was pretty Probably. Early after. It was yeah. pretty early after the restart. I'll give you that.
Oh, there you go. See, you're trying to do a Dan Thomas again. Listen, you can't argue that Pulisic absolutely is first on the team sheet for this cup final. Has to be.
Shaka, how do you explain what we've seen from Christian Pulisic in the last month or so?
I can't. I'll be really honest with you, Seb. I simply can't. I, like Steve, like Frank Lampard, like everybody else, thought that Pulisic was surplus to requirements at the start of the season. Given what we've seen from Hudson-Odoi, from Mason Mount, you just wondered where he'd get in, how he'd fit in, and was he good enough to keep hold of his spot. But since the restart, he has been, without question, Chelsea's best player. And not just by a small margin, by a big margin. How you explain that, I really don't know. He's just made better use of the time off there than anybody else, and that's as flimsy a reason as I can offer, because the difference between what we'd seen and maybe expected of him 6 or 7 months ago and what we've seen and gotten from him in the last month, chalk and cheese.
Speaking of flimsy, we've asked Don Hutchison to put together a combined 11 between Arsenal and Chelsea. Don, as we look at your 11, I'll note that there are 10 field players. 7 of them are Chelsea players. You've really not given Arsenal a whole lot of love. How do you explain that beyond your Chelsea bias?
Yeah, I've got no Chelsea bias whatsoever. I just went with my gut feeling. I went with which players I thought were in form. And I get the question marks if people want to have a little look at it and have a little sort of a little pop at me. I didn't really go off players playing, you know, 30, 40 games. I just went off players that I thought were in form. And when you see my 11, I think maybe one or two question marks. I was trying to get Kante into my 11 because I just think he's an absolute genius in that position, but I couldn't on the season he's had. That's by his exceptional standards, of course. And young Saka, I was desperate to get Saka in at left back, but I just think of late, he's been playing a lot higher up the pitch and Kieran Tierney's been playing at left back. So I decided for Tierney. So it's opened up for debate. I get if there's a few critics and Shaka and Stevie want to pull it apart, but that's my 11.
Stevie, you want to take a shot at Don's combined 11? Is that team any good?
Well, I've got to say the team's not particularly brilliant, but it's not Don's fault. I mean, this is not an easy task to give somebody to pick a good side out of these two teams. I mean, good luck picking two centre-backs. You know, he's got Rudiger and Zouma, both of who are lucky who'll be lucky if both of them play at the weekend. And that just tells you how bad Arsenal centre-backs are. I mean, it's really tough. Ceballos, he's been bang average. Kovacic has been okay. I mean, I could argue about James. you know, James maybe would be, maybe not. I don't think I'd start him over Bellerin or Azpilicueta just because he's inexperienced and he's actually not even a regular yet. With Tierney, absolutely 100%, I go with that. And going forward, well, you can't really be wrong because that's where both sides are at their best. And I think probably Don's got that bit right. But my goodness, I don't care who's picking this team. Good luck getting a back four.
Shaka, can we focus on the goalies for a second? Emiliano Martinez gets the call in Don's 11. I mean, this gives you an idea of just how desperate the goalie situation is really at both of these clubs.
Well, in all honesty, Martinez has been outstanding since he's come in. Mm-hmm. I think he, above all, has looked decent for Arsenal defensively, as Stevie points out. Defensively, between these two teams, you struggle to get a decent back four. But I think Martinez has been very good. He's been let down at times by his defence, but I think he's given Arteta and Bernd Leno a lot to think about. On the other side of that very same coin, in trying to pick or weigh him up against Chelsea's two in Caballero and Kepa, listen, you really believe that Frank Lampard is going to go with Caballero for the cup final? That tells us its own story. So in terms of goalkeeper, I don't think Don had much of a choice.
All right, gentlemen, let's make some picks. Don, I'll start with you. Arsenal-Chelsea, who you got?
Chelsea. I think it'll be tight. I think there'll be plenty of goals because, as we've said before about the centre-halves for both teams, they're not particularly strong. Chelsea don't really hold on to clean sheets. They've not really had many this season. I'm going to go an exciting 3-2 win for Chelsea.
All right, 3-2 and some goals. Shaka, your pick.
I'm going Chelsea as well. Listen, these are on two great teams by their own measure. Chelsea have a lot more to celebrate in terms of finishing top four. It won't feel as big a game for them as it will for Arsenal. And I think, despite how good Arsenal may have been in the semis, I just believe Chelsea are a better team and they get the job done any day.
Stevie, we got 2-for-2 picking Chelsea. You going to make it 3?
I certainly am, yes. Chelsea's just a better side. They've got better individuals. You know, Don's picked a team. It's the majority of it's Chelsea. Listen, everybody's talking about how well Arsenal did against Liverpool and City recently. But you know what? They had no choice. They stuck men behind the ball. I don't believe they're going to do that against Chelsea, and that's why they'll lose. Chelsea will win the game.
Plenty more build-up to the FA Cup on tomorrow's show. We're joined by, among others, Stuart Robson. Don't miss it.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What a season for Jack Grealish of Aston Villa. 8 goals and 6 assists in the Premier League. How about the goal that basically kept Villa up against West Ham? All of that action has brought him plenty of attention, including a link that Arsenal might be the latest to focus their attention on Grealish. For more, Don, Shaka and Stevie are back with us. Don, I'll start with you from the player's perspective. Is Arsenal the right landing spot for Jack Grealish?
I think it's all about timing, Seb. And I think the form of Bruno Fernandes and Paul Pogba has probably swayed Ollie to stick with those two if Paul Pogba hangs around. So timing's probably not on Jack's side to go to somewhere like Man United. I think he'd be a good signing for them, obviously. I think Liverpool as well. And I think Arsenal would probably be at this present time a very good move for him. Having said that, it just depends on who else Arsenal bring in, because if they expect to bring in Jack Grealish for between 40 and 45 million pounds and expect Arsenal to get to the top four, it ain't going to happen. So if Jack Grealish is a stepping stone in terms of, right, we're going to then attract better players in different positions, i.e. centre-halves, then they have got a chance. But I think for Jack it would be a pretty good move because they're a football inside.
Shaka, what do you think?
I totally agree. Listen, you look at the Premier League table and you wonder, where does Jack Grealish fit in? I don't think he gets into the starting lineups for the top two. As Don rightly points out, because of Bruno Fernandes and Pogba, I don't think he gets in Manchester United. Chelsea are overloaded in that position. Outside of that, you're thinking either Spurs or Arsenal. Maybe Spurs have that need that they haven't filled since Eriksen left. But Spurs certainly measured Ozil's surplus of requirements, despite still being on the books. You see him as being a more natural kind of fit or replacement for Ozil's position. So it makes an awful lot of sense for a club like Arsenal and for Jack Grealish, where, if we're talking Premier League clubs, I'm not sure he's got that many options.
Stevie, Aston Villa reportedly holding out for £80 million. We know he's good. Is he that good, and is he worth that much money to Arsenal?
He's good. He's not 80 millions worth of good, though. And he's actually grown on me throughout the season. You know, at the beginning of the season, I wasn't sure whether this guy was just better than everybody else around him in Villa, and that made him look good. But by the end of the year, he's convinced me he's a football player. And I'm pretty sure that Arteta would like to play 4-3-3. And I think Jack Grealish in the middle in the three would be great. So I think this would be a good move for Arsenal and for him.
Arsenal reportedly preparing a bid for Grealish. Meanwhile, Manchester City have reportedly seen their bid accepted for Nathan Ake of Bournemouth. Don, I'll start with you here. Is Nathan Ake a starter for Manchester City? Is he that level quality? Is he a squad player here?
Well, he's not really a squad player. I think if Pep's bringing him in for £40 million to play, so Pep's obviously got ideas that he probably doesn't fancy John Stones. It might be time for him to move on, or Nicolas Otamendi. I would still question, again, it's the same sort of scenario, really. If Man City fans see Nathan Ake come in, and that's no disrespect to him because they need a lot more, is he going to take them to a title? Maybe, but not in my opinion. But if you drop someone like Koulibaly in there, and then you say to Nicolas Otamendi and Nathan Ake, right, you two fight it out for that next spot, then all of a sudden Man City would convince me they're going a long way to go into a title again. If it's just Nathan Ake and the players that they've got there, he'll improve them. But toppling Liverpool is a whole new matter, and trying to do it in European football as well, that's a big ask.
Shaka, how much would he improve Manchester City, in your opinion?
A lot, in my opinion. Listen, with the exception of Laporte, Nathan Ake is better than the other centre-backs that Manchester City and Pep Guardiola have. So he comes in and he adds to that. Maybe he isn't the passer that John Stones is, but one of the big criticisms around City defensively is that they have too many defenders who are just worried about getting forward and not defending. I think Ake adds in that regard at the very least. Whether City have eyes on other players, I guess time will tell, but Ake is certainly an improvement on what they have.
I just wonder, Seb, very quickly, I just wonder if it's viable that you have two left-footed centre-halves playing in the same 11. I know it's the equivalent and the same of two right-footed centre-halves, but just wonder, and Stevie will know, I just wonder about the balance. If you had Laporte as a left-footer and then Nathan Ake on that side on his weaker right foot, I don't know if it works.
Stevie, what do you think? And is Ake the right fit for Manchester City?
You know what? I don't care whether left-footed, right-footed, whether they've got one leg or two legs. It's about your starting position. That's what it's about. And you know, when I think of Nathan Ake, you can't argue he's not had a good season, albeit Bournemouth have got relegated. When you think of Ake, you think of a guy making last-ditch tackles, sliding tackles, being physical. And I'm not sure that's what you want your centre-back to be. You want your centre-back to be cool and calm and to be unnoticed. You don't want a centre-back coming off being the man of the match, covered in dirt because he's had to slide all over the place. And why is he sliding all over the place? Has he starting position wrong? Or is it the players around him? So this is a big question mark for me. Yes, Aki is definitely better than what they have right now, as far as options are concerned. But is he any better defensively against teams that are breaking against Manchester City? I'm not so sure. So this is a big question mark. And you also got to say, Man City's record of signing proper centre-backs is not particularly good.
Very well. Elsewhere, Stevie, Jadon Sancho has been linked to pretty much everybody in the Premier League. Bild is reporting, though, that he would prefer to go Liverpool over Manchester United because he has better chance at winning hardware there. Stevie, certainly you wouldn't mind having him, yeah?
Absolutely. The only problem he's got is, where's he going to play? I mean, do you really turn round to Mohamed Salah and say, I'm sorry, but this guy's starting over you? Or Mane on the other side? Because it's one of those two. It's certainly not down the middle. Fantastic for Liverpool, yes. Would it be great for Sancho? I'm not so sure. He has to go and play somewhere. And if he goes to Liverpool, I'm not so sure he's starting every single game, that's for sure.
Shaka, that's just it for Jadon Sancho, isn't it? It's got to be a tough choice, I'd imagine, for a footballer. You go somewhere you're probably going to play more versus a place you're probably going to win more. How do you make that decision?
Listen, it's a pretty good choice to have to make if you're a footballer. Here I am, I have to choose between Manchester United and Liverpool. I think that's what every single player wants. Listen, I also understand the predicament, but Stevie Riley points out, Liverpool are so settled, so successful in what they do. Anybody coming in, it's at the very least, it's going to take them some time on the sidelines, working their way in to becoming a regular starter. Now, whether Jadon Sancho sees that as being part of his role, I'm not so sure. On the other side of the coin, you'll have other people saying to him, listen, Manchester United are a club on the up since Bruno Fernandes arrived. Manchester United have a lot of money to spend in terms of competing with those at the top level. You can either spend a year or two on the sidelines figuring out your best position and how to work your way into the Liverpool starting 11, or you can wait a year or two being in the Manchester United starting 11 while they add to what they have in competing at the top end. It's a tough choice. It's a good choice. But right now, I think the easier and better fit for Sancho is at Manchester United.
Bit of news now just for Stevie. Thomas Grönemark, better known as Liverpool's throw-in coach, has signed a one-year contract extension. Grönemark tweeted earlier that was amid great interest from other clubs. Stevie, how relieved are you that Grönemark is coming back?
Hold on a minute. So why would he tweet that there was great interest from other clubs? Why would he do that? She's giving it all that again. Hey! By the way, never mind that there is great interest. How many other teams have got a throw-in coach? Tell me.
I don't know, Stevie, but...
Thank you. None. Zero. One team. And he's saying, oh, yeah, those other teams have great interest. Why is he saying that?
Yeah, who's really? In for him? Who's in for him? Real Madrid? Barcelona?
Well, by the way, next week we're going to have a chat about Grönemark. He's had offers from Man City and Real Madrid. What do you think? Well, if he goes to Real Madrid, he'll have the players for 2 days a week throwing the ball, and then if he goes to another team, he'll have them for 4 weeks. So if I was him, my experience, I would go for the 4 weeks rather than the 3 weeks. Is that what we're going to be doing next week?
I don't know what we'll be talking about next week.
Well, it depends on the money.
I promise you, we will not be talking about throw-in coaches in extra time because Stevie's not around in extra time. It's just Don, Shaka, and your questions off of Twitter. Make sure to join us.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
ESPN FC is, of course, also available via podcast. New episodes out daily with lots of bonus material on today's edition. Plenty more on the now failed takeover bid at Newcastle. One final bit of news before we leave you today. Swiss authorities have opened criminal proceedings against FIFA president Gianni Infantino. Among the allegations, an abuse of public office. Infantino has denied any wrongdoing. Plenty more on this story over on our website. That does it for this edition of ESPN FC. Thanks to everyone involved. We're back tomorrow with plenty more as we look forward to the FA Cup final. We'll see you then. Hey there, everybody. Welcome into this edition of ESPN FC's Extra Time. We got Shaka Hislop wiggling over there on, my left. We got Don Hutchison as well. Clearly, both of them mocking my intro. Gentlemen, good to have you with us. Let's start with our first question. A little bit of news we didn't get to in the show. The Saudi-led consortium has ended its bid to buy Newcastle. Shaka, they want to know your thoughts of the news. Have either of you played for a club where there was ownership uncertainty, and did it affect the dressing room or performance on the pitch? Shaka?
Let me tell you something. There was no uncertainty around Mike Ashley selling this club. I've said this probably three takeover bids ago. Until I see some new owner leave the owner's box, walk down to the pitch, and score bicycle kick inside the six-yard box, I am not going to believe that Mike Ashley has sold that club. There had been far too many false dawns. If I'm a player in that dressing room, I've gotten used to it. I'm like, well, this is what it's going to be like while I'm still here. It's not happening anytime soon. Doesn't affect the dressing room to the question. This is, and I have a feeling this is not the last time we're going to be having this very discussion.
Don, you grew up in the area. Just a couple weeks ago, we were talking about Cavani to Newcastle. Obviously, that doesn't seem like it's going to happen. It just feels like such a letdown for Newcastle fans.
Yeah, they're used to it, though, Sebi. I mean, they are absolutely fuming over this one because they thought this was going to be the one where, you know, it would certainly give them a chance to spend a lot of money on the infrastructure at the football club. It would give them money to spend on managers' new signings, potentially lighting up St James's Park and trying to get them close to a top six and trying to get to elite football again and making them great to watch. And it's the same old story. Shaka's absolutely right. It's takeover after takeover after takeover. And I don't even really think Mike Ashley wants to sell. I really don't, in my heart of hearts. I don't know why he does it, because he riles the Newcastle fans. Then the season's going to kick off in a month's time. Fans will be unhappy. There'll be, you know, disruption from fan level to boardroom level again. And listen, I don't think Mike Ashley is the type of guy that gets to kick out of it in terms of the relationship between him and the fans. But certainly the money that he's taken in from the Premier League and doesn't invest it into the players on the pitch. It's really worrying, and especially for Newcastle fans, because, as I said, they are so disappointed over this one.
Next question. Can we get Shaka's thoughts on Craig's rant yesterday? I believe it was team of the season related, though with Craig rants, there's always kind of layers to it. I thought it was an all-timer, and the only thing that would have made it better is Shaka dying laughing in the background. Also a staple of Extra Time.
I'm laughing at the mere thought of another of Craig's meltdowns. I honestly think it's just one big, he's got one big meltdown and it just breaks off a little piece every show. That I'm convinced. It's nothing new. It's just same old meltdown, just a new piece. What was his meltdown about yesterday?
He had not been shown what was it, the team of the season from Mark Ogden before the segment, and he felt underprepared. I think that was it. You know, Craig's very professional. He wants to be prepared.
It was a bad team, though. It was a bad team.
To be fair, you did need to see that, you know, probably a half hour before we analyze it to really chop it up properly.
Oh, God. I don't know what to say to that. Move on.
Don, how much stick did you get for saying Anthony Martial should be dropped to the bench if Sancho goes to United?
I got absolutely pelters. I got it on social media. Listen, it is what it is. I mean, listen, I didn't say he should get dropped to the bench and never play again. The question was, if Jadon Sancho goes to Man United, where does he play? And I said he plays on the right-hand side. And in my opinion, Mason Greenwood moves in a position to the number nine. And Marcus Rashford plays on the left. Because the reason I criticise Anthony Martial so much, and I keep stressing it on social media, the reason why I criticise him so much, it's because I like him so much. Because when I watch him play, he drives me crazy because he's got the most ridiculous ability. He's got the most ridiculous pace and strength. And when he gets in front of goal, even though he's central or even when he's 30 yards on the left-hand side, he whips him into the top corner and he looks an absolute world beater. And then I might not see him for 2 or 3 weeks. So the only reason I criticise him is because I want him to be a little bit more consistent.
Hold on a minute. Dallas sounded like my dad. The only reason I'm grounding you is because I love you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why. The only reason, Shaka, the only reason I'm having a go at you is because I like you.
Can't you just see it now, Don, with his arm around Anthony? Hey, listen, I'm tough on you, kid.
I'll tell you a very quick story. The reason why I say this is because when I was at Liverpool, Graham Souness, the manager, was having a go at me every single day in training. And he was battering me. He was giving me it every single day. And after about 3 or 4 weeks, I knocked on his door and I asked him, why, Gaff? I said, why'd you come for me every single day? And he said, the reason why I'm doing it is because I like you. He went, if I didn't like you, I would say nothing and I wouldn't give you the time of day.
And you just took that and walked out? Goodness me!
Yeah. That was a confidence booster, Shaq.
You'll thank me when you grow up. Trust me. Good Lord!
I walked out of that room.
Oh, goodness me!
It's a confidence booster.
So, if they don't say anything to you, that's the proof that they don't like you.
Okay. Exactly. They can't be bothered. They haven't got time. They haven't got time for you. So, if they're criticizing you, it's because they want you to be better.
Goodness me.
Shaka, which goalkeeper goes straight into your team of the season? Ter Stegen, Alisson, Courtois, or Ederson?
Ooh. It's my team of the season. I'm going to go Alisson as the player who goes straight into my team of the season. Second, I'm leaning Courtois here because, and I've said this all the time, I always think, player of the season, these elections, how your team does and how you represent your team in that regard plays a big part. So even though if I'm picking a team, I might go Ter Stegen above Courtois. If we're talking about a team of this season, I have Courtois in for how strongly he finished his season. And the fact that, well, Real Madrid overturned a 4-point deficit after the enforced break. And Real Madrid are still in the Champions League. And given the form that they've shown, have a very good chance of overturning the result against City and winning it. So, that's a lot of words to say, Alisson and then Courtois.
All right, Don, how would you rate the reincarnation of AC Milan at the top level of football since restart, and has it been more impressive than Manchester United's reincarnation during the same time?
I think United probably topped them just, but it's good to see Milan back because they went through a phase, Sevi, a couple of years ago where they spent so much money, but they spent it on average. I think they spent nearly £200 million. And when you watch them, you're going, where's this money being spent? Now, all of a sudden, they've got rid of a few players that weren't particularly good inside that dressing room. They've got a manager who knows exactly what he's doing. He sets them up correctly.
You know, he's brought in players that look as though they're terrific and they're AC Milan players. Rebic, I love him. I think he's a typical Milan player. Zlatan's doing a terrific job. Çalhanoğlu's the one I think that's improved over the years. He was one of those players that were brought in for a lot of money and I didn't really see it apart from the odd free kick. But he looks as though now when he's played in his best position, which is a number 10, he can finally be a player. So I think it's a very, very tough call, but it's 60-40 just in United's favour.
It's not a tough call at all. Milan are sixth.
Yeah, but where they've come from, Shaq. Where they've come from.
Yourself. Milan are sixth.
No, but where they've come from, they were never even close to being sixth.
Behave yourself, Martial's dad.
The only reason I criticise AC Milan is because I like them.
That's right. Is that for once that the Manchester United anti-bias didn't come through on this show? Shaka, is it fair to just... Oh, Shaka, get your goalie union hat on for this one. Is it fair to just get rid of David De Gea and forget his loyalty to the club and how he kept Man United in the top 10 since Alex Ferguson retired?
Listen, without question, David De Gea... has been outstanding for Manchester United. And he has been rewarded accordingly. But, again, without question, he has been poor by his standards and what you'd expect of a Manchester United goalkeeper over the last 2 years. Do you stick with that because of how good he was previously? As I say, he was rewarded for that form. And I don't begrudge him that at all. He earned that. But when you're not playing well, you've got to get expected to get left out, regardless of what are the other circumstances around that.
Why are you so harsh on David De Gea?
Because I really like David De Gea.
All right, gentlemen, we will leave it there for today's edition of Extra Time. A reminder, join us for tomorrow's show. Play more build-up to the FA Cup final on Saturday.